Well, friends, we now commence with the second statute called the Sale of Goods Act 1930. Comes into inception on 1st July 1930. Extends to entire India except Jammu and Kashmir. All the elements of the Indian Contract Act are applicable to this statute as well. In fact, the sections which were there in the Contract Act were obviously the part of the Sale of Goods Act, which was a continuation of the Indian Contract Act. But thereafter, it so happened that there were certain intricate aspects with regard to the concept of goods, the concept of condition, warranty, caveat emptor, the passing of property, and suit with regard to price and unpaid seller, that we required a separate statute which was called the Sale of Goods Act 1930. As the name indicates, this is a transaction between the seller and the buyer, the subject matter being goods. Who exactly is a seller? The person who sells or agrees to sell, and the buyer who buys or agrees to buy, and the subject matter is goods, which includes only movable property other than actionable claims and money. We shall now proceed to the Sale of Goods Act 1930. It was originally embodied in Section 76 to 123 of the Indian Contract Act, which was found to be inadequate. And therefore, the law relating to sale of goods is a branch of the Contract Act. Sale and delivery of goods are two vital elements of sale of goods. It applies only to movables, tangible or intangible, other than actionable claims and money. Actionable claims indicate any kind of a claim or a demand which can be enforced only through a court of law, such as a book debt or a debt with regard to a negotiable instrument, and money, that is legal tender or currency. Immovable property is governed by the Transfer of Property Act 1882 and therefore doesn't come under the purview of the Sale of Goods Act. Let us now move to the definition of goods. It means every kind of movable property other than actionable claims and money. It includes shares, stock, growing crops, grass and things attached to and forming part of the land which are agreed to be severed before sale or under a contract of sale. Goods could be existing goods, specific goods, ascertained goods, unascertained or generic, future and contingent. Well, let me explain what exactly goods convey. All movable items other than any kind of claims which can be recovered or where money can be recovered only through a legal course of action and legal tender, that is the price that we pay as far as any exchange is concerned, is excluded. Similarly, immovable property is also not included in the concept of goods. It includes shares, every benefit or portion out of the share capital of a company. The accumulated shares, which is called a stock where it is paid up and which is transferable from one person to another. Growing crops, grass and things attached to the land which are severed. What is the meaning of severed? It means to separate or segregate. So anything on the land which can be separated or segregated alone forms the subject matter. So for example, you have quarry, you have a coal mine or a building which is also a part of the land. But can it be severed? Can it be removed? No, it cannot. And therefore, immovable property cannot come under the definition of goods because it falls under the Transfer of Property Act. Goods are broadly classified as existing goods, specific goods, ascertained goods and unascertained. All goods which are presently in possession of the seller are called existing which are physically in his possession. It could be a TV set, it could be a table, it could be a chair, it could be any kind of article which are presently with him. Specific, they are identified items which are in the possession of the seller at the time of sale are called specific or identified items. Now the question arises, what is the difference between specific and ascertained? Ascertained is also an identified item, but Lord Atkins says this is an item which is more specifically identified after the formation of a contract of sale. Now let me explain what exactly is the concept of specific and ascertained. A goes to a Maruti showroom where there are 10 Maruti Dzire cars. Now these are not identified, so those which are not identified we call it as unascertained or generic items. Now out of these 10 Maruti cars, in this Maruti showroom we have a Dzire, we have a CS, we have a Maruti 800 and several other cars. Now, all these cars are ones which are existing. Now, out of these 10 cars which are not identified, X, a customer, requires one car and tells the showroom dealer, kindly keep this particular car having this number or having this color exclusively for me and keep it separately. Now, this particular Dzire car, which is black, having a particular nameplate, which is more identified after the formation of the contract of sale, is called as ascertained. And therefore, that one car is called as an ascertained category, whereas the remaining 9 cars, which are generic or not ascertained, are called unascertained. Future goods. Goods which are not presently in the godown of the seller, that is, they are yet to be manufactured at a future point of time. X, a customer, goes to Concepts Furniture and asks him for an 8-seater dining table. The furniture salesman says, "Sir, it is not presently manufactured by me right now. I shall have it manufactured after 2 months, probably in the new year of 2017, sometime in February. Now, these goods which are yet to be manufactured are called future goods. The goods which depend on a contingency, which may or may not happen. X tells Y, if goods arrive by a particular ship or by a particular train, I shall sell the item to you. But if these goods do not arrive by a particular mode of transport, I may not be able to sell, are called contingent goods. That is, goods which depend on an event or any kind of the happening or non-happening of a particular event are called contingent goods. Shares and stocks are all goods. However, debentures, being an instrument of debt, does not come within the purview of the definition of goods. Goodwill, copyright, trademark, patent are all goods. Money is the only consideration in sale of goods. Current money is not goods, but let me have you informed, the sale of old coins or notes for money comes under the purview of sale of goods. If goods are sold for goods, the transaction is a barter exchange, which comes under the Transfer of Property Act 1882 and thus will not fall under the Sale of Goods Act. We now proceed with document of title to goods. The first document is a bill of lading. This is a writing which is signed on behalf of the owner of the ship in which goods are embarked, acknowledging the receipt of the goods and undertaking to deliver them at the end of the voyage. A dock warrant is a kind of an acknowledgement given by the officer in the dock area, stating that the goods are in his possession, acknowledging the quality, quantity and the number of packages in his dock area. The warehouse keeper's certificate, Wharf Fingers certificate. Now, what exactly is a wharf? It is a place where ships or vessels are loaded and unloaded, and the person who is in charge of this loading and unloading is called as a wharf finger. He issues a receipt which is called as a wharf fingers certificate, acknowledging the goods which are loaded and unloaded. Railway receipt. This is an acknowledgement by the railway authorities that they are required to transport the goods to an X destination, wherein the agent of the seller is required to accept the same through the railway authorities, is called as an RR or a railway receipt. The warrant is a delivery warrant or an order for the delivery of goods from one place to another. Thus, document of title of goods is a proof of possession or control over the goods, so that a person can have it transferred by either endorsement, which means a signature at the back of the document, or by delivery. Well, friends, I think the preliminaries on the basics of the Sale of Goods Act has been clearly understood, wherein we talk about two parties, the seller and the buyer. The man who wants to sell or agree to sell is the seller. The man who buys or agrees to buy is the buyer. The subject matter is goods, wherein we talk about all movable items other than actionable claims and money. It excludes immovable property, which is under the jurisdiction of the Transfer of Property Act 1882. Goods could be existing goods, they could be future goods, or they could be contingent goods. Existing goods could be specific, ascertained, or unascertained category. And finally, we have the document of title to goods, which could be the railway receipt, which is an acknowledgement by the railway authority, a bill of lading, which is a receipt by the captain of the ship, or a dock warrant or a dock certificate given by various authorities, which entitles the person who possesses this document to not only possess, but he is entitled to have it transferred to any other person, either by endorsement or delivery. Thank you very much.